We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. Today you'll hear Seth's chat with Andrea Mitchell of NBC News. And just for this podcast, Mitchell stuck around to extend the conversation. But first, a closer look.
The Trump White House continued to face the backlash today over President's cruel and sudden decision to ban transgender people from serving in the military. Meanwhile, the Senate GOP was rushing to pass mystery legislation that could strip health care away from millions of people. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. As we all know, Donald Trump has cast himself as a champion of the working class, but throughout his presidency, he's done very little to actually improve the lives of those working people. He's either done needlessly cruel things that nobody asked for, like banning transgender soldiers, or he's actively tried to make their lives worse by taking away their health care. But Trump thinks he can get away with it because he's billed himself as a crusader against the elites. So when new White House communications director Anthony Scaramucci did an interview with the BBC this week, he was asked why Donald Trump is not himself an elite and gave an answer that wasn't very convincing.
So here's what's going to happen.
Donald Trump is not elite.
We're going to move on.
The business side or the politics side or the inheritance side? What part of Donald Trump? Many people in the UK don't understand that.
There's so many things about the president.
He's a celebrity.
How about the cheeseburgers? How about the pizza that we're
eating? Everyone eats cheeseburgers and pizzas. What are you talking about?
The Trump administration is so insane, even the British are getting flustered now. And the British weren't even flustered by Dunkirk. It's worth noting this interaction with the BBC went a little differently than the last time Scaramucci spoke with the BBC in 2016, before he took a job with Trump. When he told them, if Donald Trump becomes the next president, I'm looking forward to the BBC helping me find a flat somewhere in London. And I have to say, I would have loved to seen the Mooch living in London. That would make a fantastic TV show. They could call it The Great British Jerk-Off. Scaramucci was brought in as the White House communications director to get White House communications back on track. But last night, he called New Yorker reporter Ryan Lizza and unloaded on fellow Trump staffers on the record. Now, this is a report that just came out. Now, there is one word that we can't say on TV. So instead, we're going to play the sound of a rooster, and you can figure out what word he was using. Scaramucci claimed that Reince Priebus had leaked details of a dinner with Trump, Fox News host Sean Hannity, and former Fox News exec Bill Shine. According to the article, the issue, he said, was that he believed Priebus had been worried about the dinner because he hadn't been invited. Reince is a paranoid schizophrenic, a paranoiac, Scaramucci said. He channeled Priebus as he spoke. Oh, Bill Shine is coming in? Let me leak the thing and see if I can block these people the way I blocked Scaramucci for 6 months. Priebus did not respond to a request for comment. But his comments on fellow White House official Steve Bannon took the cake. Scaramucci also told me that unlike other senior officials, he had no interest in media attention. I'm not Steve Bannon. I'm not trying to suck my own. He said, speaking of Trump's chief strategist, I'm not trying to build my own brand off the strength of the president. I'm here to serve the country. Bannon declined to comment. I'm guessing Bannon was unavailable to comment because based on his skill set, he was otherwise engaged. comment, and it was muffled, you know. You know, because of his... But while this insane White House drama is playing out, Trump's policies are having real consequences for real people. As you may recall during the campaign, when Trump was cynically trying to drive a wedge between Hillary Clinton and Democratic voters, he claimed that he would be the true champion of the LGBTQ community, at one point even holding a gay pride flag at one of his events. Look at him. He looks like a matador trying to make peace with a gay bull. I don't want trouble. Of course, it turns out when Trump claimed he supported the LGBTQ community, he was just engaged in one of his favorite pastimes, aside from golfing, lying. Although I'm pretty sure his favorite pastime is to lie and golf at the same time.
Let's see, one, two, tree, and then water. And then it was the tree again, then I picked it up and threw it, then it was putt, putt, putt. And then it went off the green, then I chipped it back on, putt, putt, putt. I got a three.
And yesterday revealed the scale of Trump's lies about his feelings towards the LGBTQ community when he announced via tweet that he was banning transgender people from serving in the military.
Our military must be focused on decisive and overwhelming victory and cannot be burdened with the tremendous medical costs and disruption that transgender in the military would entail.
Okay, so clearly he didn't write that tweet. That's way too many big words from a guy whose reading level can best be described as Tarzan. But Trump's announcement apparently caught actual military officials off guard because he began his announcement with this vague tweet. After consultation with my generals and military experts, please be advised that the United States government will not accept or allow. And then he left that up by itself for 9 minutes. That's like if your girlfriend said, you know my new trainer, Jeff, and then didn't say anything for 9 minutes. The tweet was so vague, it apparently caused panic at the Defense Department. According to BuzzFeed, at the Pentagon, the first of the three tweets raised fears that the president was getting ready to announce strikes on North Korea or some other military action. Many said they were left in suspense for 9 minutes, the time between the first and second tweet. The Pentagon is afraid Trump might announce military action via tweet. Let's pray he never tweets about his lunch. It's official. I just decided to nuke 2 Hot Pockets and a bean burrito. But as you might expect from a policy announced via tweet, it seems to have been rushed out and poorly thought out. The White House could not provide answers to basic questions about how the ban would work and whether it would affect current service members. So if you're wondering why this decision seems so rushed and poorly thought out, that's because it has nothing to do with military readiness. The fact is, some of Trump's advisors, like the super flexible, I guess, Steve Bannon, want him to do things like this to appeal more to his base. In fact, it may be no coincidence that according to the New York Times weeks ago, Bannon brought Ann Coulter, the fireman pundit, to see Trump. Coulter railed at the president that he needed to focus more on his core supporters. That's right, Trump met with Ann Coulter. Though technically, you don't meet with Ann Coulter. You get a mysterious videotape in the mail, and then you put it in your VCR, and then she climbs out of your TV. But Trump isn't just busy inflicting needlessly cruelty on transgender people. He's doing it to anyone who needs health care, too. Because right now, the GOP is rushing to vote on a bill that would repeal and replace Obamacare by the end of the week. And we still don't know what they're going to vote on. In fact, throughout this process, Republicans have been at a loss to explain to the American people what they're trying to do here. What would their bill actually accomplish? Scaramucci attempted to provide an answer yesterday, but I'm not sure it's going to comfort anyone.
What the president is trying to do is make the healthcare system freer. So why not disrupt and decentralize the system, make it more price competitive, increase competition for the insurance companies, and trust the process of the free market, like in telecom, like in airlines.
No one wants healthcare to be like the airlines. How is the hospital? Not great. My surgery was 3 hours late. My bed was double booked, so they dragged me out of the OR. And then they sent my appendix to Albuquerque. After getting over a procedural hurdle on Tuesday, Republicans in the Senate have failed to pass several health care bills. One that would have only repealed Obamacare, and one that would have repealed and replaced it. Now they're scrambling to come up with a third option. The GOP is basically a drunk guy trying every key to get into his apartment.
No, that's my mail key. I don't even think this is my building.
Scaramucci was asked why the process has been so difficult and used a historical analogy that didn't quite add up.
If you read Team of Rivals, it took Lincoln 3 or 4 times to get what he wanted from the Senate and the House of Representatives, which was the full abolition of slavery.
That's right. Trump's team is just like Abraham Lincoln's team of rivals. Who can forget Lincoln's stirring words denouncing slavery?
A house divided against itself cannot stand. I believe this government cannot endure half slave and half free. And I also believe that my election victory was the biggest election victory of all time. And no one believed I could do it. The fake news, the fake polls, terrible people, terrible dishonest people. But we won. Oh, we won, all right. Isn't that right, Mooch?
So now, with GOP leaders scrambling to scrounge together the votes for some kind of new undisclosed plan, Trump is personally going after Republicans who are bucking him, like Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski, who voted no on Tuesday. And it's not just Trump going after his fellow Republicans who are against this bill. Georgia GOP Congressman Buddy Carter was asked about Murkowski voting no, and he seemed to threaten her with physical violence.
What do you think about the president going after Lisa Murkowski for her no vote yesterday on the motion to proceed?
I think it's perfectly fair. Let me tell you, somebody needs to go over there to that Senate and snatch a knot in their ass.
Snatch a knot in their ass? Jesus. I guess when they drained the swamp, they found this guy floating at the bottom. What does snatch a knot in their ass even mean? It's like a Grand Theft Auto character who tried to say, I'll pop a cap in your ass, but had a glitch. I'm gonna snatch a knot in your ass. Eat bread, shopper. So now Republicans in the Senate are moving on to a third mystery plan. And just remember how insane this is. They're trying to pass a bill that they've just come up with on the fly to reorganize 1/6 of the U.S. economy and strip health care away from millions. Obamacare took 14 months, went through hundreds of hours of hearings and amendments from both parties. And at the time, Republicans argued that that process was too secretive. Republicans like Mitch McConnell.
Americans are outraged by the last-minute closed-door sweetheart deals that were made to gain the slimmest margin for passage of a bill that is all about their health care. They're pulling out all the stops. They're doing everything they can to jam this bill through. And they don't even seem to care anymore about how ugly it all looks. This is an incredibly unpopular bill. Thus, their only rallying cry, make history. Ignore the American people. What an act of arrogance. Why don't you all just, all you American people, all 300 million of you, just sit down, shut up, sit down. We'll do it for you. We'll restructure 1/6 of the economy. We know what's best for you. This is an act of total arrogance.
Wow. It's rare to see Mitch McConnell get so angry. Usually he just keeps all his rage stored up in his neck pouch.
Don't make me open that.
And now Trump is out there telling Republicans they need to make a decision, that they don't have time for hearings or debate or letting the American people know what's in the bill. Of course, back in 2010, Republicans felt differently. Republicans like then-Congressman Mike Pence.
What's the hurry? I mean, the president says we got to bring it to a close. It's time to make a decision. You know, the issue of health care and health insurance and the long-term cost of health care is a profound issue that has enormous consequences, not only to the federal budget, but to the most precious decisions of every American and every American family.
He says the time for talk is over. He spoke to that in the remarks, saying that you guys on Capitol Hill have been debating this, he said, for decades, and that, you know, the time for talk is over.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and he says this isn't about politics, but why do we have to get it done in 2 weeks?
Man, look at Pence. That was 7 years ago, and he looks the exact same. Can we see his kindergarten photo? My God. Of course, Republican objections back then were not in good faith, and neither is the process they're using now. The things Trump and the GOP are doing right now are deeply unpopular, so they're doing them in secret. In the words of the great Abraham Lincoln,
you can fool some of the people all of the time. And to keep the rest out, we're going to build a wall.
This has been A Closer Look.
Hi, this is Fred Armisen, the music director of the HG Band. Did you know that Late Night with Seth Meyers has a podcast now? That's what this is. And it's released every Wednesday and Friday. Tell your friends who love Late Night that they should subscribe at iTunes.com/LateNightSeth. You'll find it. What I just said, you'll be able to find it. I believe in you.
Our guest is an Emmy-winning journalist and the chief foreign affairs correspondent for NBC News. She hosts Andrea Mitchell Reports weekdays at noon on MSNBC. Please welcome to the show Andrea Mitchell, everybody. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's so great to be here. Wow.
Isn't it nice to see you? Because you have a show in the building.
Yeah.
And but you don't have a live audience.
We don't have a live audience. We've got cameras.
You've got cameras. Yeah, well, I know. I've seen the show.
But all these people, come on down at noon.
So, okay, you've been doing this for a while. You've been covering Washington for a while. A lot of people say this is the most unprecedented time we're living in. The last couple of days, voting on a health care bill that nobody knows what's in it. Is this as unprecedented as we've been led to believe?
It's wild. It's crazy. I mean, nobody knows what they're voting on. They don't know how much it's going to cost, how many people are going to get knocked off of health care, who's going to get it, who isn't going to get it. They don't have a score from the budget office, the CBO, which is nonpartisan. And so they're just going through these bills trying to get something to say we didn't fail.
And, you know, while this is happening, and this is something that's going to affect so many people and so many people's health insurance, which is a big deal, and then you have something like this morning where all of a sudden, you know, he starts tweeting about how transgender people are not going to be allowed in the military. I have heard that the Pentagon was completely taken by surprise by this. Is that what your reporting has led to?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little scary that the Pentagon, you know, U.S. intelligence did not know that the president was going to change the policy for trans people. And I don't think that the defense secretary knew. He is away on vacation for a couple of days. We've got a lot of big military issues. Afghanistan.
Do you think he spoke to the generals? I know he was saying that. Is that something that we can be led to believe is true?
Don't know.
Yeah.
Can't say. But the fact is that the generals have other big things. Afghanistan, Syria, you know, how to deal with North Korea, whether missiles are going to go up as early as tonight or tomorrow. I mean,
as early as tonight?
Yeah, maybe.
Oh,
maybe
I hope they wait till after this airs. I'd love to get one more in.
One more. Yeah.
And then, there's a lot of theories floating around. Do you think that this is something, an issue that is near and dear to his heart, or that he's playing to his base, or that he's using it to distract from the healthcare issue that people talk about less when he does a tweet about transgender soldiers?
It's hard to say what's going on in his mind and what he's thinking.
Yeah.
I can't interpret it, but it certainly has been a distraction from the failure on healthcare. It does play to the base. It's a social issue, and it contradicts completely what he said during the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to figure out that this is near and dear to him if it's not something he was talking about when he was running for office.
One of the things covering foreign policy, you have to cover the Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson. He has not been taking a lot of questions. Would you say this is the least?
Yes.
In your time, there's never been a Secretary of State that's been had a lot less access?
Absolutely.
And you've tried very hard, very noble efforts. Here you are asking him some questions at the end of a photo op. Let's take a look real quick.
Mr. Secretary, China has said there will be consequences for the deployment now of anti-missile defenses in South Korea.
Thank you.
Mr. Minister, are you sure the Trump administration will be strong against Vladimir Putin?
Thank you, guys. We're leaving.
Thank you.
Can you assure us that Russia will not be able to move further in Ukraine? We haven't had any time in here.
I'm sorry.
I mean, that is humiliating.
That, yeah. You looked like a woman who was lost in a shopping mall at the end. Also, it's that interesting when people say thank you and you get the sense they're not that thankful.
Yeah.
And, you know, the other thing is he is not letting the press fly with him. And here is a guy who is taking trips to obviously everywhere across the globe. And so the press has to fly commercial
right, to
try to catch up with him. Has that made it your job even harder?
Well, it's impossible because you cannot fly from here to there, from country to country without a military plane. I don't have one.
Yeah.
And, you know, we pay our way on this, so this is not a budget issue. They say it's a budget issue, but he doesn't want to have the press go around. So he has one person with him, one person from the media now that he sort of represents all of us. But the fact is that for decades now, secretaries of state have briefed us on the plane or had their top officials briefing us. He doesn't have that many top officials because they haven't filled the vacancies, which is another old issue. But it really is hurting American diplomacy. It's not good for us as a country to not have the press able to say, well, this is what the goal is of this administration or this secretary. It also sends a really bad signal, I think, to regimes in China, in Turkey, in Russia, where reporters don't only not get press conferences, they get locked up, they get killed. I mean, there has always been a tradition where the U.S. Secretary of State, Republicans and Democrats, bring the press corps along, and if they don't have press conferences there, he or she will hold a press conference to show that we believe in freedom of the press.
That is very disturbing. I mentioned you've been doing this a long time, and you are sort of a trailblazer as a female journalist. And very early on, you noticed a bit of the distinction that people in charge will make between female and male reporters. You covered Three Mile Island, which was obviously a big story. And what was your beat that you were the in charge of Three Mile Island?
I covered energy. I was the NBC energy correspondent, so I covered nuclear energy. And this was a potential meltdown, so it was on my watch.
And so what happened when you tried to go report from Three Mile Island?
Well, a very kindly, paternalistic bureau chief, a lovely man, said, when I noticed that 5 days in, I was the only correspondent not going in and covering this thing. I went and said, how come I'm the only one who's not going to Three Mile Island? And he said, because you are a woman of childbearing age.
Wow.
And I said, has it occurred to you that men's balls are as vulnerable to radiation as women's ovaries?
It's very...
I mean, I got there the next day. They sent
me
right
up. The next day. Also, I want to say that's very noble because for all the doors that weren't open to women for so long, the one that you would think they'd be happy to have closed is the door to Three Mile Island. But you... I think that speaks a lot to the integrity you have as a journalist. And please keep up the good work, Andrew. It's just lovely having you here.
Thank you.
Andrew Mitchell, everybody. Andrew Mitchell reports us weekdays at News on MSNBC.
Hey, everybody. This is Henry from Late Night. I'm here with Andrew Mitchell. When I talk to journalists here, I'm always interested how they get their news while they're also kind of reporting news during the day. What is your day like? Because you're always reporting, always on air, working sources, et cetera.
I'm following social media. Also, I've got all the cables up and following anything that's breaking from, you know, major print sources, and also watching White House briefings, watching The Hill. So we get feeds of everything that's going on Capitol Hill, at the State Department, the Pentagon, any briefings that take place.
Right.
And calling sources.
So you're on the air at noon. You also work on many other shows, but I feel like you're also the person that MSNBC or NBC goes to when there's a breaking foreign story. Like, you'd be going out to Andrew Mitchell. It seems like you must just be running to the studio so often outside of your regularly scheduled hours.
And that's partly because there's just so much news. I mean, there's so much happening. You know, cable and social media and all of the technology, you know, that has transformed our business has meant that we're working 24/7. All of us are. And this president is so active on social media that you never know when something's going
to
hit.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you, you mentioned out there with Seth that there are all these vacancies across the government. Can you talk about where the vacancies are and how damaging that is to the United States?
It's enormously damaging. They only have 50 confirmed people out of almost 600 slots around the government that need to be filled.
Yeah.
And it's, in many cases, people are just not even nominated yet. It's not waiting. Sometimes it's waiting for the FBI clearances, but it's not really stalled for the most part by any kind of political interference on the Hill. It's basically that they weren't ready coming out of this transition.
Yeah.
You know, they fired Chris Christie from the transition. They started from scratch. And they come into government with someone like Mike Flynn, not vetted properly. In 28 days, he's gone, a national security advisor. And you've got, in the Pentagon in particular, and at the State Department, vacancies everywhere, assistant secretaries. So you've got all these fill-in people who are holdovers who are not trusted enough to be policymakers or to be given insight into what the policy is.
Right.
So your Secretary of State is basically home alone. He's got a deputy now, but no undersecretaries and no acting secretaries.
When you talk to your sources outside of the United States, what are they saying about this thin American government?
I've talked to heads of state and ambassadors, and they say there's no one to call.
Wow.
And so a lot of them during the transition say they did call Jared Kushner to try to get through to set up appointments.
World-renowned diplomat Jared Kushner.
Right, real estate, son of real estate mogul, 30-something, whatever.
That's the point person.
And he is actually now also the point person for Middle East diplomacy.
Yeah.
And for, you know, reinventing government.
Mm-hmm. Transportation. The list goes on.
And I guess now interviews on Capitol Hill.
It's stunning. I also wanted to ask you about your strategy to get questions answered. We saw the clip of you trying to get an answer out of Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, but over your career, you've had different strategies to make sure people hear you and answer your question.
Well, first of all, I guess I'm loud, but I'm short. And so it's very hard if you're behind the cameras for anyone to see you when you're as short as I am. I'm 5'3". But so I used to crawl under the tripods and pop up on the other side and, you know, Mr. President, wave at Ronald Reagan, who would try to get him to stop, because he often did stop and talk on the way out to the helicopter. Mm-hmm. And so when presidents aren't having news conferences, you start shouting at press conference, at photo opportunities. My mother used to chastise me, saying that she didn't raise me to be this rude.
But it's a balance of being a reporter. You have to be confrontational. There has to be the confrontational kind of relationship. But as a person, it also must be odd, because you want to be...
It's very odd.
Yeah.
No one who knows me would believe this, who's seen me shouting and pushing and climbing over chairs to get to Hillary Clinton on a rope climb because she hasn't had a news conference yet in 6 months. But the fact is, I'm kind of shy, and I wish people would like me, but, you know, I kind of want to be friendly, but there's something that gets triggered when a politician is avoiding answering important questions that gets me into gear.
Well, thank you for doing what you do.
It's great to be with you.
It was such a pleasure. So much fun. So great. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
Want more Late Night with Seth Meyers? Be sure to follow the handle at Late Night Seth on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. You can also watch full episodes of Late Night at LateNightSeth.com or on the NBC app. And please tell your friends who are fans of Seth Meyers to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
I love a good parasocial relationship with a celebrity who will probably never know my name.
I mean, honestly, who knows? Don't count yourself out. But my favorite part about these feuds is how they're ignited by the tiniest things.
Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it.
I accidentally laminated my brows too much.
It starts small and then it gets so big.
To be honest, Naomi, I'm fearful of you to this day.
I don't know her.
We all just have to admit, we're addicted. Everybody has opinions. Everyone picks sides.
Leave Britney Spears alone right now.
From Wondery, I'm Sydney Battle.
And I'm Matt Bellassai.
And this is Dis and Tell, la, 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 where we unpack why we get so invested in these feuds and whether or not our attention only makes the whole thing worse.
Follow Dis and Tell wherever you get your podcasts.